John's Gospel, John chapter 19. I'm going to read from verse 28 to verse 37. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a sycamore branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who'd been crucified with him, with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He saw that he who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he's telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled: not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. And for a short time this morning, I want to focus particularly on the words that we read in verse 30, John 19, verse 30. Let's read these words again. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. All over Europe this week, there'll be a time of commemoration and celebration as countries mark the end of the Second World War and the defeat of Nazi Germany. Our own VE Day will commemorate the VE Day this Friday, when the Queen leads the nation in remembrance. Other countries such as Denmark and Norway will mark the day as Liberation Day. Eastern European countries such as Russia and Poland, they celebrate what they call Victory Day, and they do that on the 9th of May. But of course, these days are going to be tempered by the current pandemic affecting each and every one of these countries. It's going to be a day of mixed celebration, but celebration nonetheless, as politicians, military and civilians remember the cost that was paid for Europe's deliverance from the scourge of Nazi totalitarian oppression, that oppression that cost the lives of millions. But there's another victory that we celebrate, and not with mixed emotions, and not on one day only. There's another victory that we will remember and do remember, the victory that we remember of the cost that was paid for our deliverance from the scourge of sin's dominion. And that cost that was paid, not by millions, but by one man, by the divine Son of God, the Lord Jesus. It's the victory of Jesus on the cross that we rejoice in at all times. That victory on the cross that Jesus won over sin and Satan. And that victory that Jesus pronounced with all the might of the victor when he declared and cried out, "It is finished, it's accomplished, it's fulfilled, price paid in full." That cry of victory to indicate that Jesus had accomplished all that he'd come to do to win salvation for his own, and to do that by his death for sinners, his death on behalf of sinners. Jesus had won that victory over sin and Satan, that victory that preceded his victory over death 3 days later when he rose again. Just focusing, as we do this morning, on that victory on that Friday of his death, we remember the cost of that victory was the sacrifice, Jesus' sacrifice, his own sacrifice, his own giving of himself on the cross. He'd won that victory by his own perfect obedience to all that the law required. He won that victory and that full knowledge of what that victory would mean for his own people. Freedom. Freedom from the power of sin. Freedom from the curse of God. Freedom to enter into his everlasting kingdom. Freedom to be declared right with God because Jesus bore the sins of his people, because Jesus was made that curse of God for us. In that great transaction, when Jesus bore the sins of his people bearing Christ's righteousness, clothed in Christ's righteousness, so that we might be made acceptable before a holy God. And so we turn our eyes to Jesus this morning and to be encouraged in faith and love for him who gave himself for us. Jesus, the sinless Savior. Jesus had endured the agony of sin-bearing. And in that sin-bearing on the cross, he'd been bereft of his Father's presence. His Father who couldn't look upon sin. And Jesus had cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But that forsakenness is over. Darkness has passed. The darkness of sin-bearing has passed. Jesus had drunk from the cup of God's wrath. Jesus had done all that was required of him to satisfy God's justice. And now in place of sorrow, in place of utter darkness, there's the light of Jesus' victory over sin and over Satan. And Jesus will die as victor. And so as we consider again the victory of Jesus as he cries out with that loud voice of triumph, we're going to look at what that loud voice cried out in its meaning. We mentioned it already this morning. We'll mention it again. The three things I want to focus on this morning: the fulfillment of what Jesus came to do, accomplishment, and paid in full. So let's think first of all what Jesus did in the sense of what Jesus fulfilled. He fulfilled, he completed all that had been prophesied of the victorious Savior in his triumph over Satan and over sin. Go right back to the beginning, right back to the time of the fall of man there in the Garden of Eden. God had promised that a descendant of Eve would crush Satan's head. Of course, that descendant found its fulfillment in Jesus. In Jesus on the cross, when he crushed Satan in victory. And it was prophesied that the suffering servant of God would be victorious over sin and sin's power. We hear these words of prophecy in Isaiah when many centuries before the cross, Isaiah prophesied of the suffering servant, that he'd be pierced for our transgressions, that he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we're healed. And of course, when we think of all the humiliation of Jesus on the cross, the humiliation that Jesus endured, the shame, the mocking, the hatred, and the pain itself, but all that's over. There's an end to suffering. And Jesus can now say in these words, when he says it's finished, he can say in these words, I've fulfilled Scripture. I've suffered as the word of God foretold. I've carried the sin of many upon myself. I've made it possible for sinners to be saved. I'm shortly to die as the once for all sacrifice to satisfy God's perfect justice. I've done all that was said of me. Every word has come true. And I rejoice that all has been fulfilled. And so in these words, it is finished. We can hear Jesus recognizing that it's been a complete fulfillment of everything that was prophesied about him, that nothing was left out, nothing remained to be done to fulfill and to complete that work that his Father had given him to do. It was a complete fulfillment, a complete victory. And that completeness, the completeness of Jesus' victory, surely should bring to you and to me, to all who are his, should bring to you that assurance that your life, your soul, that all is fully saved. You do nothing. He's done everything. So what then is your response to that truth? Surely it has to be worship. Surely it has to be praise and thanksgiving and adoration that Jesus should have fulfilled all that was written of him as the suffering Saviour. What was promised, he fulfilled, and he fulfilled for you. Everything that concerned his humiliation, everything that concerned his agony, his suffering, he fulfilled for you. His victory on the cross, his victory over sin and over Satan, so that you might never be lost. And that's cause enough for each one of us to forget all our light and momentary troubles and focus on that victory that's ours in Christ. And to rejoice, yes, rejoice, and not with mixed emotions, but to rejoice with that full joy that when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," he fulfilled the work that had been given to do for you and for me and for all who deserve nothing of his grace and yet receive it freely without cost to yourself, but all through the cost of the life of the Son of God. So in Jesus' cry, there was fulfillment, but there was also anticipation of what was yet to be as not just on the cross, but beyond the cross. Because in that cry of victory, Jesus knew that all had been accomplished. All had been achieved. All had been completed. John, we've already read, John tells us that in verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." Jesus has accomplished his Father's will. He's carried our sin. He's been made a curse, the curse of God. That's fulfillment. But he's just moments away from death, and he's moments away from return to paradise and return to heaven, moments away when he'll give up his spirit and enter into the paradise of heaven. So when he cries out, "It is finished," Jesus knew that the moment had come and he would die, and he would taste death. He'd accomplished his Father's will as sin bearer. He'd done all that his Father had asked him to do in being that once for all sacrifice for sin. He'd drunk every drop from the cup of God's wrath. He tasted death for everyone for whom he came to die. He's fully obedient, even unto death, so that none for whom he died might ever taste eternal death. And Jesus faced that ultimate price with confidence. Confidence that he had accomplished the work that he'd been sent to do for sinners. And now in death, you die the sinner's death. And with that promise to free from death, free from spiritual death, all of us, all who deserve that eternal death, and yet will not face it because of what Jesus has done for you. You know, at the present time, so much of the media focus is on death. The physical death, that physical death, the count that we count in thousands and in tens of thousands. The deaths that are happening because of the horrible virus that's sweeping through the world. We truly do grieve for those who are lost through this death. We grieve for the bereaved. Even those in our own congregation who've suffered loss as a result of that particular illness. But in our grief, we can still praise God. We can still give thanks to God for those who do die and have died in the Lord, for whom we can truly say, "O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory?" And you hear that resounding reply of the Apostle Paul, "But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." The Lord Jesus has given you that victory over sin on the cross. He's done that by his death. And of course, by his resurrection, he's given you that victory over death. And so we praise him for that accomplishment, for his work, that work of salvation that he's delivered. For that work delivered by Jesus. He alone is worthy of all our praise and worthy now and eternally. And you who have life in Christ, his victory is your victory. If you're united to Christ by faith, his victory is your victory, because his death has brought you life. And that life is only possible because of Jesus' perfect obedience to his Father's will. So we look forward in that resurrection hope. We're not like those who despair, who have no hope. And if you who are his are filled with that confidence of eternal life, then rejoice. Jesus was filled with that confidence when he knew that he'd accomplished his Father's will, when he secured for his people eternal salvation. And so rejoice in that victory that Jesus won on our behalf. And hear also the words when Jesus utters, "It is finished," to hear in these words that Jesus paid in full the debt that was owed for our salvation. Paid in full. He accomplished everything for us in that payment, the payment of his very life. The debt that the church owes to God for its transgressions, paid in full by Jesus. He paid all that we owe to God, and he paid it by his blood. That's what we hear in the cry, "It is finished." God the Father was fully satisfied. There was nothing left to pay, nothing left for Jesus to do to satisfy the Father. The law's demand for a sacrifice to take away sin, that was satisfied once and for all in Jesus. The requirement of a spotless, perfect sacrifice to take away sin, that was found in Jesus. Jesus did what no one else could do. Jesus bore the wrath of God against sin, and he paid for your salvation. You've got nothing to pay if you come to Jesus and accept his finished work for you. And if that's the fact of Jesus' actions and suffering the cross and his cry, "It is finished," it's accomplished, it's completed, paid in full, then there's nothing, but nothing that any of us can do to earn our salvation. Jesus has done it all, done it for you. There's nothing that we can add to Jesus' finished work. I mean, if God was satisfied with Jesus' finished work, then why is it that so many people still think that, you know, we've got to do something to merit salvation? Or we might even turn it around and say this. Why is it that so many people still think that they're not able to be saved because of something in their life that they think that God could never forgive? But no, listen. You're safe in Christ because Jesus fulfilled all that was required of him. He accomplished all that his Father had given him to do. He accomplished all to win that victory for you. He paid the debts of all of whom Jesus came to save. But what if you're not a believer in Christ? You might know some small victories in your life, maybe in work or in education, for example. But that all-surpassing victory in Christ will elude you unless you come to him in faith and by faith and truly repent of your sins. You know, in life, we want to be in the winning side. We want to know victory. We want to see. Even in this present time, we want to see victory over the coronavirus through the measures that the world's governments are putting in place through scientific research and through the medical staff that are engaged in dealing with this crisis. We want to see the defeat of this horrible virus. When the vaccine comes, what we pray will come and come soon. We will rejoice and give thanks to God for that. But we say this with, I pray with all reverence, the disease of sin already has a vaccine. A vaccine It's Christ's blood shed on the cross for sinners. That blood shed that indicated that his life had been given for sinners. Life given, that Jesus cried out in victory, "It is finished." And that's the victory that all of Christ's people share in by faith in Jesus. And that could be your victory too, if you'll turn from self and from sin and turn to the Savior who gave himself in sacrifice for you so that you might not face the condemnation of God. So as we gather in worship, as we gather to worship God, as we gather here this morning, we praise him. We praise him for that gift of salvation in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. As we do so, let's just pause in our hearts and, yes, even in the silence of your heart, offer up to him your thanks, your gratitude, your commitment, your promise of continued obedience to him, and that you truly do come to him with that pure heart and clean hands of innocence as you commit to him your life, as you seek to live victorious lives, victorious over that disease of sin, and that you might tell others of the victory that can be theirs through their putting their faith in the Lord Jesus and turning to him for salvation. These are critical days that, yes, that God has given us to remain faithful to him through all the various and the many horrors around us at this time. But we trust in him and continue to trust in him. We trust in the one whose love for us was seen supremely on the cross. We trust in the Lord Jesus, whose love for us was evident in his cry, "It is finished." And so we continue to contemplate the cross as we've heard once more that victory cry, "It is finished." And so I pray that you all will know that true community with Jesus, Jesus the victor. And yes, as you bear your cross daily, as you follow him, as you deny yourself, that you'll do so as you look to the one who bore your sins on the cross of Calvary. And let's then praise God as we gaze in adoration again on the cross and rejoice that Jesus, the victor, cried his victory shout, that he cried that shout on that day that you can count as your liberation day, the day that you can count as your victory day, the day that truly is victory over sin day, that day that the Lord's people rejoice in, that day that Jesus triumphed in, that day that his triumph was seen and heard on the cross, so that we can truly say Jesus is the victor, that Jesus is our hero, that Jesus has triumphed over sin and Satan for you and for all for whom Jesus gave his life. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give praise and thanks to you for your love towards us in sending your one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, Lord, may we look to him who won that victory on the cross. And may we know in our lives that victorious living over sin and over Satan, and that we will truly rejoice to know that we are victors in Christ. So help us, Lord, we pray, to continue to worship you, to continue to praise you, to live lives of thanksgiving, to live lives of gratitude to you, our Lord and Savior. Continue with us, Lord, as again we call upon your name in praise. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's close in the benediction. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon and remain with you, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. Feel free to stay on for a time of fellowship. Go and get yourself a cup of coffee or a comfort break and rejoin us at 11:55, so in 10 minutes. Go and get a cup of coffee and we'll show the slides of the children in between as you're getting your coffee. So thank you for those who have joined, and if you are dropping off, may the Lord bless you.